Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Bijou Banter. It is Friday, April 1st of 2022, but we are not having any April Fool's jokes today. In the Carry Eye Studio, we got Orson Codd.
Hello.
Gangenberger Hoyer.
Hello.
And myself, Matthew Huh. And if you tuned in last week, we discussed our thoughts on the nominations of the 94th Annual Academy Awards and also gave some predictions. Well, we're following that up, and last week we said we are actually going to do this, and we're here right now. We are going to talk about the 94th Annual Academy Awards ceremony that aired last Sunday, and...
Boy, it was an eventful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite an event. So basically, a lot of stuff went down. Some good, some bad.
No, I'm just kidding.
They talked about movies. Yeah.
There was this one big thing that did happen.
What?
That's right. Coda won Best Picture.
I feel like we should start with the good stuff first, you know?
Before...
There are a couple things.
Yeah, what did you two think of this year's ceremony?
To be honest, I didn't watch it. I mean, well, it's hard because with my TV, I have it as one of those where I don't pay for the cable, but I have the streaming services, and they're very picky with where they stream it, and so like I don't have Hulu Live or anything, but... I was kind of just following along, and like there were a couple of YouTube live streams where I was watching, but it was mostly me looking at your guys' texts and texts from my friends that were like, oh, this is happening. But it was mostly until the second half where I was like, oh, I should really just start following this more.
This was, I don't have words to describe this entire ceremony. I think the Academy Awards has just really fallen into irrelevancy for so many years now. And they're trying so hard to be so relevant because, you know, during like Hollywood's golden age, this was a pride, like this was having an Academy Award was like a prideful moment for a lot of Hollywood because like, oh, we're honoring film history. We're honoring historical films. But I think it's at the point now where it's like it's becoming less about the films nominated and more about how the ceremony is being run.
It seems like when each February or like now, I guess, March or April, every year comes around, it's like, ooh, what are the memes we're going to get this year? Like the cringy jokes, celebrity shenanigans.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that.
That applies to a lot of stuff, though, just because of our culture and our society in the 21st century, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like the Oscars, I mean, I can give the Academy credit. They're trying hard to like, you know, be sure that they maintain that relevancy and, you know, at least acknowledge films that need to be acknowledged. But it seems like they always miss the mark every single year. And sometimes I don't take the issue with the films being nominated because, you know, I think it's at this point, like every film gets looked over every single year and it happens. I mean, that's just the nature of award shows. And obviously the politicized behavior, that's always been there. I mean, it's always going to be there for award shows. That's just kind of where Hollywood just kind of has that pedestal. But there was something about this ceremony that I don't think necessarily gelled with me well like the other ceremonies did. Because at least with the other ones, I can like say, okay, they're trying to do something new here. It's not quite working, but hey, I give them credit. But here it's like they're bringing back all these things. Like they're going back to the Dolby Theater. They're bringing back hosts. They're bringing back all these elements. And they're not quite working. There's like so many times where it's like, it becomes less about the awards and just more about like, wow, this is just a spectacularly bad ceremony.
I just want to clarify one thing. I have no problems with really any of the winners of this year's ceremony. Mm-hmm. Granted, there were some things that were disappointing. It's like, well, I think this film should have won over that. But overall, I was pretty content. It wasn't like last year where we had a massive screw up at the end. And I remember saying at last year, we talked about this in our Oscars 2021 retrospective, I thought it was the lowest point of the Academy Awards history. But lo and behold, I have no idea how they did it, but they made it worse. I think this is the worst ceremony to ever happen to the Academy Awards. Just granted, the problem that we had last year was that there was no plan. It seemed like they just kind of did everything without thinking about it and just kind of did everything at the moment. But this one, they clearly had a plan. They announced what they were going to do. They got hosts. They cut 8 of the awards to save time. They said they're going to focus on other stuff. It's like, okay, you have a plan, even though we don't agree with it. Let's just see how this plays out. They still messed up. It's just, there was, I can't describe it. I cannot express just how upset, like frustrated and like borderline angry I was at how bad the ceremony was presented, because this is insulting to a point. It comes to a point where it's like, this isn't even about the films. It's about, obviously it's about viewership. Obviously it's about money, unfortunately, at this point. But it's just so sad to see something that I really love, like the Oscars, be degraded to something so as like a laughing stock. And it's really embarrassing.
Two of the things that I would like to point out that I enjoyed about the ceremony. One, Troy Kotsur winning. I thought,
oh yeah,
that made me so happy. When I was in high school, I did sign language as my foreign language requirement. And I don't have anyone in my family that's deaf, but I was able to be a part of a culture for a while and understand it from an outside perspective. So I do always now have like feelings towards when I see things like, oh, A Quiet Place or Coda or the first deaf actor winning. It makes me happy. And I will admit, when he was giving his speech and he was signing, I teared up a little because I was like, that's awesome to see all that representation and the way this this culture is growing in our society and that it's getting recognized more. Because it was very different from where it was 5 years ago. So that was great. And the other thing, Matthew knows.
Oh, yeah. The
Army of the Dead the fan favorite award. You know,
I wasn't even that upset, because at that point I was just, everything else was so
Matthew and I will make many jokes about our stance with Zack Snyder movies on the air, behind the scenes, but I think we both understand and respect that Zack Snyder's movies are not for everyone. And he does have his fan base, and it does make me happy to see, no matter what, you know, the bots or the scammers or whatever, it is cool to see that a director who clearly loves his work and throws his heart into it is recognized at least in some form. So that did make me happy, and I liked the movie a lot. So that was pretty cool. A high for me.
Yeah, the Twitter fan favorite.
It was stupid, but I was glad.
It was stupid. Granted, I'm glad they didn't draw too much attention to it, but at the same time, it's like, well, if it was like that, why'd you even do it in the first place then? But
I will admit, it was not the movie I voted for, because I did participate in it, but
You voted for a better movie?
I voted for The Suicide Squad, but oh, okay. I was happy Army of the Dead won.
Yeah, it's just, okay, basically, I don't even know where to start. Where do we start? Of course, the whole goal of this ceremony, by cutting out 8 of the nominees, was to save time and also to gain a younger audience to view the show, right, which I understand to some degree, but I think the Academy Awards needs to learn that the Oscars is not the Teen Choice Awards. It's not the MTV Movie Awards. It's not the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards, for crying out loud. Like,
what?
You're not going to get, like, unless every movie you nominate, like, targets that demographic, you're not going to get that viewership, except for people like us who love movies and talk about movies. So, but the fact that they were trying so hard to, like, oh, we got to reach this demographic. We got to get all these young actors, even, like, people that don't act in movies, like Tony Hawk, for example, and Sean White. Why are they here?
DJ Khaled,
like, just showing up. Like, yeah, I'm going to interrupt the host here, guys. DJ Khaled, Major Key. Okay, I'm out of the house now.
It's like, then they just leave. It's just, like, there was so much time that was literally wasted. Nothing of value was being given to us, essentially. And the three hosts this year were Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, and Regina Hall. Regina Hall. It was just all over the place.
There are three wonderful women.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe the hosts I would have picked, because I remember, like, what, 2 or 3 months ago, there were names floating around, and I was like, while those names, I still would not maybe pick to host the Oscars. I was like, it makes sense though they wanted those, and then they kind of just threw us for a curveball, and they're like, three hosts now, and I'm like, really? Like, I don't know. That seems too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, I think with me, it's like, where these are comedians that have, unfortunately, that have not been in the limelight for quite some time. I mean, Amy Schumer had her prime years. I mean, I wouldn't say that she's always had like top prime, like most comedians do, like Chappelle does, or even Carlin did at one point. But it's just like, she hasn't been topic of discussion for hosts. Or even like Wanda Sykes. Wanda Sykes has not been as relevant as she was like years ago. And also Regina Hall. All I know her from is the scary movie films.
Oh yeah.
and it's nothing against these female actors or comedians. It's nothing against them. I have nothing against them, but I don't think they were the right pick. I mean, there are moments where I think they did try to do something, and it did somewhat land. I mean, I did like what Amy Schumer did after this said thing that we'll get into. But I mean, because, you know, they want to keep the show going on. They didn't, but there were times where they were just really distracting, and it's like, okay, I mean, they're not focusing on them now. And then all of a sudden,
if they wanted to get two hosts that have experience with hosting prestigious awards, Amy Poehler
and Tina Fey.
That, like, is the... I've always said they... I don't know if they actually have hosted the Oscars. I don't think they have.
I think they have contracts with NBC.
I've always, like, petitioned. A, if you can't get anyone to host, get the Muppets to host. But I still want that to happen one day. The Muppets host the Oscars.
I think they would do it better.
Have those funny. Two. If they wanted to go with two comedians, I get it. Maybe there's behind-the-scenes contracts, what have you. But I feel like that would have been the better route to go. Or maybe even, like, Melissa McCarthy or Kristen Wiig. Those two always have a good duo.
Like, I'm not the biggest fan of either three, and I didn't let my personal biases like, you know, distract from like, oh yeah, I don't think they're very funny in general. But it's like, even then, the jokes that they were given, and granted there's probably some improv, but most of the time the jokes at these ceremonies are written by, you know, writers, obviously.
Right.
They were terrible. There was no funny jokes.
Yeah, and
they
were, and Don't Look Up is nominated. Clearly, the critics don't look up reviews. I'm like, that's not funny.
That's not funny. That's lazy. And a lot of them were actually in really poor taste. Like, there's been some word about this, but first of all, the opening ceremony was 30 minutes. The first award didn't get announced until like 34 minutes into the ceremony. Like, what happened to saving time, you guys? Like, what a waste.
Yeah,
also, there were so many jokes surrounding the pandemic that were in such poor taste.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that confused me is like, you open up the ceremony, you're going to have Venus and Serena Williams introduce the song by Beyonce that was from King Richard. And it's like, okay, great performance right there. Good start right there. Then you get into the jokes. DJ Khaled comes running on stage like a little kid and just like,
it's like, yeah, major key.
You get your cringe jokes. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, and the Academy Awards, and you go with Regina Hall, Amy Schumer. It's like, what? You guys are doing the SNL introduction after the monologue, then all of a sudden you get into your monologue, and then you finally introduce the first award of the night. And it's so jumbled. Like, you already had an opening monologue, you already had an opening performance, and now you're just, okay, we're getting started now, then we have the other opening monologue, and it's like, guys, I mean, you think SNL goes back to their hosts and has them do another stand-up gig after the fact that after the cast has been announced again? I don't think so. We get right into the sketches, and we're not getting right into the awards. We're getting right into more cringe comedy here.
And like I said, like cringe comedy can work. If you want, like, look at someone like Tim and Eric, for example. They do cringe comedy because there is this incredible amount of self-awareness. But this is the Oscars. This is meant to be taken seriously. And the jokes just weren't funny, though. Like, I know comedy can be very subjective for a lot of people, but most of the individuals that I talked to following the ceremony were mutually agree. It's like, yeah, it was not funny. It was obnoxious and it was annoying. And if there's one thing that I had to be like, okay, at least they didn't cut back to the host nearly as much as I was expecting them to. When they did, it was really, really bad.
Yeah.
But then it's like, if you really wanted to save time and cut the awards, why don't have hosts then? Because for the past 3 years, the Academy Awards didn't have a host.
I think one of the issues, we don't really need to get on it too much, but is that they pick comedians to do it. And while I thought Chris Rock was great years ago, and I'll be in the minority, I thought Seth MacFarlane brought something interesting to it.
I was in the same boat with MacFarlane because I don't know, but there was that time where it's like I was really obsessed with MacFarlane. I wouldn't say MacFarlane, but I was really in love with him again. I think MacFarlane actually did a pretty good job hosting. I don't think he was that bad.
But you have to bring in someone that knows, like, you can make jokes, but don't make it your stand-up comedy routine. Do it someone that knows it's professional, like Jimmy Kimmel when he did it. Like, it didn't feel like, you know, he got up there and had, like, a list of jokes he was just waiting to rattle off.
Or even, like, this figure's a little controversial now, Ellen DeGeneres, when she hosted a couple years ago. She was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, and they had their issues as hosting, which is why a lot of people didn't. No one's perfect. Yeah, nobody was really necessarily attracted to hosting the ceremony for the last 3 years. But I just don't think that necessarily going from no host to three hosts was a good jump.
No. We're going to transition into a quick PSA, and we'll be right back with more Bijou Banter. Welcome back to Bijou Banter. We are continuing a conversation and recap of the 94th Academy Awards. And now we are going to address the elephant in the room. The big turning point, or basically the biggest takeaway from this entire ceremony, Not the fact that a independent film from Sundance starring a deaf family won Best Picture. No. We are going to talk about the Will Smith, Chris Rock slapping incident. Now, for those somehow unaware, if you've been living under a rock for the past week, there was an altercation at the ceremony where Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith's alopecia. Jada Pinkett Smith is the wife of Will Smith. And Will Smith...
Good actress.
Yeah, good actress. Will Smith was not too pleased about that joke. So he proceeded to walk up onto the stage, slap Chris Rock across the face, walk back to his seat, and started cussing him out from the audience. Basically, everyone thought it was staged, and they had to censor it during the original broadcast, but the uncensored footage eventually leaked onto the internet.
Within minutes.
Within minutes, yeah, because of international broadcast. And...
And he wasn't escorted out. He wasn't escorted out. And he gave a really creepy speech. And then he went and partied afterwards.
Okay. I'm still baffled that this even happened. First of all, it's sad that the biggest takeaway from this ceremony was the fact that someone got assaulted. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this even happened and just everything surrounding it is just really embarrassing for every single person involved. It is literally a stain on the Academy Awards now. Now nobody's going to talk about what won. No one's going to talk about the fact that Will Smith won an Oscar for the film King Richard.
Questlove.
Questlove too, because this was Chris Rock was presenting Best Documentary Feature, which went to Summer of Soul. Great film, I'm very happy, but no one's talking about that. Everyone's talking about the slap, and it's really, really disgusting, honestly.
You know, we were talking about this beforehand, and we don't want to make this conversation with what we're about to talk about. We're not going to try and question what's wrong and what's right and who's in the wrong and who's in the right or whatever. If I was in Chris Rock's position, but it has come out, he did not know that Jada Pinkett Smith had alopecia. So I can't blame him. I don't think he was making that joke to target her specifically and what, you know, her own problems are. Mm-hmm. But he's a comedian. And whenever you know that as a main nominee, a joke is probably going to get made about you, and it's not okay for you to go up there and slap someone because of words. Mm-hmm. You can feel upset if you don't like a joke, and then maybe after the ceremony you can call them up or get in touch with the Academy and say, "Hey, this joke made me angry because it was insulting me and it was insulting the person I love, etc." But you don't get up there and slap someone over it on live TV when I think everyone knew Will Smith was going to win.
Mm-hmm. He was the front runner. And basically, I guess my two cents, I am extremely, extremely disappointed in Will Smith because I've liked Will Smith. He's known as one of like the nice guys in Hollywood. Mm. But I know some now, not so much. But for someone who's been working in the industry as long as he has, he should know by now. It's like, this is how it works. You know that at the Academy Awards or just at any awards ceremony, like you said, jokes are going to get made. And it's not the fact that you got offended by it that bothers you. It's the fact that you resorted to violence as your first answer.
He was laughing first.
And he was laughing at first, which disturbs me too. So it's like basically the whole kind of like the theories or the rumors going around. I don't want to put on like a tinfoil hat or anything, but
I've already got mine on.
Basically, Will probably laughed at the joke. Jada was probably like,
well, she rolls her eyes.
She rolls her eyes, and then he probably saw her looking, you know, extremely offended, and then proceed to get up and slap him. Now, here's the thing. I don't think you should resort to violence as your first answer, regardless of what the situation is. What bothers me is that not only did he win the Oscar afterwards, not only was he asked to leave but refused to, but the fact that in his speech, he was saying he was trying to preach a message about like peace and love and togetherness, basically, when you clearly did not show that.
What I noticed about his speech, I went back and listened to it about an hour or so ago. There was someone that came out that said it was a cult speech. Like, it sounded like he was the leader of a cult. And listening to it again, I'm like, he's got a point. Because if you re-listen to it, what he's saying about how God is talking to him and that how he has to protect all these women, that just screams red flags to me.
That sounds really sus.
There is... You know, I think it's fair to say when you love someone, whether it's a man or a woman, you want to protect them. Mm-hmm. But you can't get up on stage and say, me, the big, strong man, I'm hitting people and resorting to violence because I need to protect these women. That's not okay to say.
That's really toxic.
The fact that he resorted to that, it just felt very wrong that was his speech. It didn't feel genuine.
And also, too, at the time, he didn't apologize to Chris Rock. He just apologized to the Academy. Yeah. And even proceeded to joke, like, I hope they invite me back next year. It's like, the heck, dude?
They're probably not going to.
No, and now there's a lot of talks that he might be not only suspended, but even expelled from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
I think the one thing they are not going to take is Oscar. Because
I don't think so either.
He did the acting. That's what he won it for. And obviously these actions did not reflect that acting. But I agree that I think there has to be some sort of repercussions taken that aren't just a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Here are kind of my two cents. I mean, for one, I'm very sick of hearing about this film. And I think at the time it was funny. It was shocking. It really was very off-putting. I think it was the unwarranted attention that I don't think the Academy necessarily wanted. I mean, they wanted the attention, but I don't think they were expecting the attention to be towards this rather than the fact that, you know, a film starring a deaf family won Best Picture that night. I think the whole thing has just been so overblown at this point. I think everybody has talked about it to death. It's been memed to death. I mean, the internet community has practically taken advantage of this whole cornucopia of freaking Will Smith memes. And it's just tiring at this point because I think what has been said has been said. I mean, you're literally having Oxford and Harvard professors analyzing this whole situation. And the situation, I'm just going to judge the situation. I'm not going to judge the moral values, whether it was Will's fault, whether it was Chris Rock's fault, whether it's Jada's fault, whether it's the Academy's fault. I think the whole situation has just been completely publicized to death. And I think that at this point, I mean, people are going to forget about it. It's kind of like how people forgot about the La La Land debacle a few years ago.
But no one got assaulted during the La La Land debacle.
I don't think people are going to forget about that.
I wouldn't say forget about it, but it's 15 seconds of fame are not going to be as talked about. That's what I mean. Because I think where this whole thing is, it's a bad thing. I'm not justifying anything Will Smith did. What Will Smith did was bad. I mean, going up on stage and assault and practically physically assaulting somebody, that's a bad thing. And I think, you know, the Academy definitely has their hand tied with this whole situation because now they're having the unwarranted publicity that somebody got assaulted during one of their award shows. And it's, I think this whole thing has just been over publicized at this point. And my thoughts on it, I didn't like the situation. I didn't think that it was right for Will Smith to do that. Whether Chris Rock knew about Jada Pinkett Smith's alopecia or not, probably wasn't the right joke to make, but then again, he didn't know. And obviously the Academy could have took much more measures in terms of trying to get Will Smith out of the ceremony because apparently there was something that was said that where the Academy actually apparently said something, like did not actually tell him to leave the ceremony. I mean, they probably urged him to, but there was something out that...
That's the whole part that seems to me is getting lost in translation.
Yeah.
Because we got some reports saying, well, they asked him to leave, but he refused. But then other reports are saying, well, they didn't have time to make a decision because there was only like a 15-minute gap and everyone was so shocked that it's like, how do you make that big of a decision within minutes?
Yeah.
So that's the most interesting part to me.
I mean, I guess the thing to take away from this is just that obviously violence is wrong. I mean, any type, whether you can try to justify it, violence is never the answer. I don't think it's ever going to be the answer. What Will Smith did was very in poor taste. It came off as pretty petty. I mean, I bet even a lot of people that are like that even hold themselves to that standard would not do what Will Smith did that night. And I think it's probably a whole situation that at this point needs to be put to rest. I think everybody has already said what's been said about this whole situation.
I'll be curious to see what happens to Will Smith after this. I don't think he'll get blacklisted.
I think he's he's too well known to get blacklisted. No, at this
I don't
point,
know.
But
I mean, anything could happen.
I don't think he's going to, but I would not be shocked if there's like a while before we start seeing like Will Smith, not leading movies, but being as widely sought after. Because usually after an actor wins a huge award like that, there's the, you know, the old story of after Mahershala Ali won, he called up Marvel and said, I want to play Blade, and Marvel was like, okay, you just won, we will find a way to work with you.
I mean, I think with this, I think Will Smith has had a long enough story career. I think he's at a point where it's like, you know, he could be in anything at this point, but I don't know if anybody's going to be associated with Will Smith at the moment.
And it's too much of a problem.
I mean, it's sad because, you know, Will Smith is a very charismatic actor. He's actually a pretty underappreciated rapper. I mean, he actually did have an impact on the hip hop community back in the 90s with his style of rap. And, you know, he's obviously a family man, but I think this whole situation, I wouldn't say it's going to be career caliber. It's going to probably put him at the point where Mel Gibson was at. Not obviously where Mel Gibson used expletives and stuff like that, but I think, I mean, well, Will Smith did, but I don't think Will Smith did it in a way where it's like targeting a group of people. But I think it's also like where this whole situation, I don't think anybody wants to be associated with what Will Smith did. And I think that might actually hurt his career a bit. And we'll see what happens. Well, we don't know, but I just think the whole thing was unjustified.
Well, it sucks that, you know, it seems like within the span of 15 seconds, his life got flipped, turned upside down. But at the same time, he caused it himself because
he acted,
you know, kind of going off of what Daniel said, this guy's worked in the industry for 30 years. He knows, I'm sure, the ups and downs of, you know, the jokes, the happy moments, the upset moments, the angry moments. And with where Will Smith is and how we look at him as an actor and a giant A-list celebrity, you should know that you need to control yourself. And if you get upset over something, there are ways to deal with it where you don't need to make it so public.
If you don't want to deal with that, you shouldn't be an actor then.
And because, well, exactly. And he even says that in his speech. He's like, you know, this is what we have to deal with in the business. Clearly you don't understand that because you acted like a four-year-old. Because when you're 4 years old, if someone makes you upset, what do? You hit them.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not control himself.
Yeah, I think the best thing to come out of this, or not the best thing, but the one thing that, regardless of where you stand on this whole debacle, you can't deny that Chris Rock handled it like a champ.
Oh, he dealt with it like a champ.
God bless him.
I mean, I think Chris Rock has been an experienced enough in comedy at this point because he has made his fair share of controversial jokes. I mean, who has? I mean, Dave Chappelle is practically.
Imagine if he was hosting.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I would take Dave Chappelle, but Dave, I mean, just imagine if like Dave Chappelle was in that situation. Dave Chappelle would do the same thing. Because I think there's a lot of things that comedians have gone through where it's like they have this backlash, they have all these like, oh, you shouldn't be making that joke, you shouldn't be doing that. Comedians are. Basically, the audience is like their dartboard in summer. They're trying to see what joke sticks. And I think what Chris Rock did is that, obviously, that joke didn't stick. It didn't suit well, but he kept going, and he wanted to get the award introduced. And it's unfortunate that Questlove's Oscar win got overshadowed by this entire
Not only just his Oscar win, but the whole duration of the ceremony afterwards. I think this is also a good point, time to bring up that this year's awards had a significant spike in viewership because of this slapping incident. Do you realize how pathetic that is? The fact that this onstage assault is the cause of why so many people ended up watching the Oscars in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. It really is insane. And I think that's just kind of, like I said, it's the unwarranted publicity. I don't think the Academy wanted, because obviously they're trying to increase that viewership. And it just hasn't been working in years. And it's, I think, the most unexpected moments ended up spiking that viewership. Because, you know, those unexpected moments are always saved for the end. Like, because what you have the Bozeman debacle last year where people thought Bozeman was going to get the award and Hopkins wasn't at the ceremony. Then you get...
I remember when people were trying to tie that into the white patriarchy. Trying to say, this is why Anthony Hopkins won. I'm like... Again, nothing against Chadwick Boseman, but I didn't see the father, but I heard the performance and it was exquisite. So
he was great. And it's also like the La La Land debacle. Nobody watched that ceremony because those things were at the end. This was halfway.
But also too, like, this whole thing, even if you don't care about movies or you don't watch the Oscars, you can look and see like, whoa, someone got slapped on live TV. I gotta see what's happening afterwards.
I think the most interesting part is the two people that were involved are two comedians and actors in the black community, at least in the top 10, which I think is interesting that both of the, you know, I don't know what message that sends, but it's just interesting when it's the two of those, because if it was someone else that was maybe like a C list.
Like a B tier.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, that's unfortunate. But because it's both of those two and, you know, what they've been able to bring mm-hmm. to that, you know, side of filmmaking and comedy, I think it just makes it even more dramatic.
It really does. And I think it's just really a whole situation, and I think it's going to be something to be reflected upon. We'll see what happens to the Academy after. I mean, obviously, they're still trying to get see what's going to happen to Will Smith. He may get suspended from his membership, may get suspended. But we'll see what happens. I mean, this...
There's probably going to be security next year.
I mean, probably will be security. I mean, I might have to have bouncers on stage and just like, nope, you can't do that.
Only The Rock and John Cena and Jason Momoa are presenters.
Yeah.
But they'll make all the jokes written by Dave Chappelle.
There's just a floating envelope next to The
yeah,
Rock.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You guys got any more input on the whole slapping incident, or should we move on?
I think this has been talked about enough. I think everybody said what they need to be said about this whole event. And I think at this point, it might just be good to put it to rest and see what happens for next year.
Yeah. What else should we talk about? One thing that I found to be particularly offensive. Well, there's two major things that I want to talk about. The first was the in memoriam. Mm-hmm. What on earth was that? That was so disrespectful. Because basically, we complained last year about how the in memoriam sequence was too fast because they played a Stevie Wonder song for some reason. This time, they one-upped it by having an entire choreographed dance number in front of the in memoriam.
Oh, wow.
It's so distracting, and it makes no sense. And also, too, they specifically, I don't know how to describe it, but they kind of stopped it to give like brief biographies about three of the actors. I think it was Sidney Poitier, Ivan Reitman, and Betty White.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because there's a lot of people that were on the in memoriam, and even some that they didn't mention, like Bob Saget wasn't.
Ed Asner.
Ed Asner
somehow. Yeah. I think even Norm Macdonald too. But it's just not only that, it's like it's interesting how they specified three people. But like, what was it that you were like, oh, we need to talk about these specific people?
I can understand Betty White,
but Betty White's more of a television actress.
I think it's just because she was so beloved by.
Yeah, I mean, everyone. She was very beloved by the whole Hollywood community. I've never met a person that has hated Betty White. I think Betty White has been so beloved at this point. But I think the whole reason why it didn't sit well with me is just the fact that I think this was the worst way to boost viewership. Like, why are you trying to boost viewership during the in memoriam sequence? I mean, because honestly, I was just fine with, like, say, having just one singer singing a very sad song like Yesterday.
That's how they usually do it.
Yeah, and it's like, I was fine with that because I think when they do that, it's like, okay, you're giving each of these artists equal respect. It's not like, I mean, there's like sometimes where you will get an artist that's like above it all. I wouldn't say above everybody, but it's like when the Emmys did it with Robin Williams a couple years ago, which honestly, it could be considered important because, oh yeah, you're putting Robin Williams on this pedestal above everybody else who is unfortunately gone that year, but they held a 15-second in memoriam for him because he was so impactful in his field. But I mean, it's a situation like that's where it can work. But here, it's like, although these are three important figures in the film industry, because Ivan Reitman created some of the greatest comedies of the 70s and 80s, and Sidney Poitier, first African American.
I can actually understand that.
Yeah.
Why they would do that for him.
Yeah.
And for the latter? Oh, yeah.
For Sidney Poitier? I understand that.
I get that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, because and they did it with John Hughes in 2011, too, because he passed away that year, and they had a whole tribute to him. But I think it's kind of where although it is well-intentioned, because, I mean, the gospel choir they are good. Like, they're good at what they do. But I think having them at the forefront of the memoriam was the worst idea. And it just felt like, oh, you're not seeing these great works of what these actors and actresses and filmmakers did. You're seeing the choir and all these actors come up and have to talk about them. And it's like, it feels rushed in.
It's just straight up disrespectful. Like, how hard is it just to play the in memoriam with a slow song and just have that? Like, it's not hard. It's like, that's what I don't understand. It's like every creative decision is just being hindered in some way to further. It's like, no, we want to get more viewership up. It's like, this is not how you do it. Leave those who have passed out of it.
Right.
It's not right.
Yeah.
And it just really doesn't sit right with me. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. And I just don't understand it. I'm guessing it will take... I mean, I'm guessing the Academy just probably should just leave this whole sequence alone and just let it be. I mean, you can still keep the choir. You can still keep those individual tributes if you want. But don't try to have them be the forefront of the in memoriam sequence, because that's where it can be insulting to the people who unfortunately passed. And also excluding some icons like Asner and Saget probably wasn't the right idea. I mean,
maybe they didn't. I don't know if this is how it works, but I feel like I read it once. They only include people that died during the year prior, if that makes sense. Or I guess Betty White died this year,
Betty White.
Okay, actually, I don't know. I don't know then. That's really strange.
Norm MacDonald died in like September, I think.
Yeah, Norm MacDonald.
But he wasn't in there?
No, he wasn't in there.
He wasn't in there. I mean,
how is it that hard to forget someone?
Yeah.
They always forget, like, there's always like one person that they always seem, that's like a really standout, like, how did you not put them in there?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's also good that, I mean, one thing I did like the fact that they include that cinematographer who unfortunately got unintentionally shot by actor Alec Baldwin during a scene. I think that those are people that I think are important to address, because, you know, these are people that are working in the industry, and it's sad to kind of see like somebody that young go that quickly, because I think it really kind of hurts, like, you know, seeing somebody, you know, passionate, and then all of a sudden their life is just cut short during situations like that.
Wow.
But they
also had some retrospectives too. They acknowledged four different films celebrating anniversaries in 2022. One of them makes no sense.
Could they not just wait 2 years?
Yeah, okay, one of them was Pulp Fiction celebrating its 28th anniversary. It came out in 1994. Just wait 2 more years and then do the whole shebang, basically.
I mean, what are you expecting Sam Jackson to cut short? No.
What do we expect standards by the Academy? No, we don't.
That was strange.
It just makes no sense. And then they did a retrospective on James Bond celebrating 60 years.
Okay.
The Godfather celebrating 50, which we could get into that retrospective because that was strange. And then White Men Can't Jump for 30 years. I've never seen White Men Can't Jump, but it's like, was this really that much of a landmark film to celebrate 30 years?
I haven't even heard of it. I think
maybe the Academy had the thought like, oh yeah, I mean, maybe millennials will like this film because this came out in the 90s, and it's like,
Aladdin came out in 1992. You could just do that. That's Disney film.
I mean, you could bring back the original voice actors. Those guys are still, I mean, obviously Williams died years ago, but I think it's like you could
do a nice tribute.
Get Will Smith to do the genie.
Reservoir Dogs came out in 1992, if you want to celebrate Tarantino.
This is angering me now. It makes no sense.
There was no thought put into this.
I mean, I could see what they're doing. They want to put the respect to, like, films that were cinematic legacies, because obviously Pulp Fiction, a huge legacy. I mean, it practically helped what film is today. And The Godfather. Oh, my God. The Godfather. Everybody, The Godfather is a cinematic landmark at this point. I mean, I actually watched it the day it turned 50, because I love that movie. I think Part 2 is actually one of my favorite films of all time. And I think, but White Man Can't Jump. Don't get me wrong, it's a fine film, it's a fine comedy, there are good performances in it, but what makes this film on the level of something like The Godfather?
I don't know. Yeah. I can't comment because I've never seen White Man Can't Jump.
Even you could take out the James Bond tribute too, because the James Bond tribute happened 10 years ago.
And it's still an ongoing not saying that like franchises like can't be recognized, but I'm like,
I think for James Bond, just because it was
probably because of Daniel Craig's last one, and it's like, okay, we're moving on to a new iteration. But then why
didn't
Daniel
Craig? Okay, here's another question: why did you have Tony Hawk and Sean White of all people, and someone else? I forget who the other person was.
Oh, Kelly Slater.
Yes, Kelly Slater. Why did they introduce it when you could have gotten Daniel Craig or Judi Dench? Judi Dench was there at the ceremony. Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. I mean, you had
most of the, like a lot of central Bond actors there.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird, and I don't know. I think the Academy's just trying. It just shows how hard they're trying, because like, oh yeah, these montages will get these people intrigued, and these are such like, I need to find the right word, half baked montages.
And the Godfather one was especially terrible because it had a really a lame rap remix, basically, of the, of the Godfather theme that was not representative of what those movies were. It's not action and gunplay. It's slow burn talking.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. These are slow burn films, and they're about the delicacies that the mafia has to go through. And you think it's all about gunplay? This isn't Untouchables. This this isn't Gangster Squad. Like, it's not that. Yeah, that's a good it's one. Not... The Godfather was never that movie, and although, like, I know a lot of people, I know a lot of the hip-hop community reference Vito Corleone and their rap lyrics, it's always, I mean, because obviously Vito Corleone's, like, a height of power for, in some ways, in hip-hop, but I think it's, like, I'm not trying to make any assumptions here, but I think it's just where I don't think that having that remix on there worked, and I don't know why. But I think those were half-baked. I think the one thing that I think did find insulting and didn't make any sense, because the ceremony was already over, like, it's 42 minutes at the time, was the reduction of the 8 awards.
Here's the thing. If the ceremony was under 3 hours, I would still not agree with it, but it's like, okay, at least you fulfill your purpose. The ceremony ended up being 3 hours and 40 minutes, which was 20 minutes longer than last year's, and it was still when 8 awards were cut.
Yeah, I mean, you're making...
You completely failed.
I mean, when your film is longer than the Irishman... Not when your film. When your ceremony is longer than the Irishman, which is 3 hours and 30 minutes, mind you, you're losing your audience.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to stick with it. I remember, like, 3 weeks ago when they announced that, and we were in class, and I said, I don't think they're going to stick with this, with having the 8 categories cut. And you were like, no, I think they are. And I'm like, I don't know. They did that a couple years ago, and then there was an uproar, and they were like, okay, we take it back. I'm a little surprised they did. I didn't think they were going to.
I don't understand. It's like people were very vocal about it, not just people on Twitter.
Oh, very vocal.
Professionals in the industry, too, were like, what the heck are you guys doing?
What the friggity frack?
Yeah, it's like, and you still just didn't do it. But apparently, and I'm happy this happened. Rachel Zegler was originally not invited. Rachel Zegler's star, West Side Story, was not invited to the ceremony for some reason. But there was an uproar on Twitter, uproar on Instagram. It's like, okay, we're going to invite you as a presenter. It's like, you were able to do that, which is awesome. Why didn't you do that for the 8 nominees?
Yeah, and I don't get, like, the pre-recorded stuff, and it just felt like, dude, they just tossed it in there.
It was really sloppily edited.
I mean, the only one I have appreciation for, though, is that Hans Zimmer finally won Best Original Score after so long. He wasn't at the ceremony. He actually ended up accepting it in his bathrobe, which is honestly... To me, that's GOAT level right there.
Yeah, he knows.
I mean, and if John Williams did the same thing, I'll wholeheartedly have that happen. And I'm glad that Zimmer finally won that Oscar.
And I wish he was able to give a speech. Too bad they didn't invite him.
Yeah. I mean, apparently he was on tour. Like,
yeah, he's on tour.
He was on tour. Like his European tour of his band. Like, he does that thing every year where he has, like, live recaps of the score, which is actually pretty amazing. Like, I highly recommend if you watch, like, Live in Prague, it's actually pretty amazing to watch that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they just really shoved them in there, and it's like, it just felt like there was no point to, like, really doing that, because you now have these moments of filler in there with these comedians making cringe jokes. Like, I don't like the fact that they referred to Kirsten Dunst as a seat filler.
And okay. Yeah, that was insulting.
So
yeah,
here's the thing. I know a lot of people, which I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about the Will Smith stuff, it was unprofessional for Amy Schumer to make that joke after, you know, all that stuff went down like 5 minutes earlier.
But wasn't that scripted, though?
But she did come out and say it was scripted.
It seemed scripted.
Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons were in on it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's just the room. Yeah. Like, if, you know, if you're making a joke about someone's spouse, which leads the other spouse to go up and slap someone on the face, if you're making the same joke 5 minutes later, a different person, you'd say, you know what? I think I'm going to change this to something else. Or just cut the joke entirely.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people were like, was it scripted? And she did come out and say that, they were both in on it.
That one definitely felt scripted. Because, like, I remember the way Jesse Plemons reacted, it seemed like he was reading a cue card or something.
He did look upset, though. I will give him, but he's always great.
But, sure. But,
I mean, he's a magnificent actor. So that just shows his talents right there.
For sure. I don't really think there's anything else to talk about. I guess we could just kind of get into the awards.
But before we get into that, we're going to transition into a quick rant spot. Welcome back to Bijou Banter. We are continuing our recap on the Academy Awards. And we're just going to go into the winners now. We've talked a lot of negatives, but now let's bring in some positives. So I guess first off, were there any snubs or disappointments that you guys had?
Mostly what I expected.
Honestly, I think everything fell into place the way it needed to. Because I think where the best part of your show is actually the awards, I think that worked. I think everything felt very well earned. A lot of Dune obviously sweeped most of the technical categories apart from costume design and makeup, which both went to Cruella and to Aiza Tammy Faye respectively. I think that got to where it needed to be. Yeah, and Coda was the biggest winner of the night. Best picture, best screenplay, and best supporting actor.
Clean sweep.
Minus the weirdnesses that we talked about earlier. I still think the award should have went to Andrew Garfield, but that's just my opinion. It was obviously a very tight-knit category. I thought Will Smith was fine in the movie. I mean, it was a very good performance, and obviously a lot of people really liked it, but I wouldn't say it was a snub, but again, minus the weirdnesses and the problems. I was like, I thought Andrew Garfield deserved it, but I'm sure his time will come.
Yeah, I mean, I think every award was pretty well earned.
Yeah.
Despite the incident that happened, I think every single actor, performer, technician, filmmaker got the awards that they deserved tonight.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Should have been Kristen.
Yeah, it should have been, but I think Chastain did put on a good performance. I think
Grace Randolph is rolling in her grave. If you get the reference, she's not a big Chastain fan.
It wasn't like last year where there was stuff like, why did this win?
Right.
There was none of that. It was more just like Meyer, like, oh, I wish this would have won. But it's like, I'm pretty content, like I said, I even said this too, with pretty much everything. Dune had a massive sweep. Unfortunately, none of that went to Denis, which is really stupid.
I'm sure with the next one.
He better.
Depending honestly. On...
Yeah, we got about 2 years, so we got time to wait.
Yeah, there's that. What else? Drive My Car won Best International Feature.
Yeah.
So,
it was no surprise.
Even though they were trying to cut off Rizuki Hamaguchi's speech after only 30 seconds. What the heck, Academy? Basically, he was only on stage for like 20 seconds. They immediately started playing the music. Like, this man basically made the best film out of any of the nominees. Let him speak, for the love of God.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything was pretty well deserved. I think everybody had good speeches. I mean, obviously, Will Smith, that's going to be a big question, but I think everybody got what they deserved. It was kind of nice, although I didn't think Coda was, like, the greatest film out of the nominees.
It's a good pick.
I see why it won.
Yeah, I see why it won. I think it's important for that representation. I mean, as a disability advocate, I think it's very nice to see, finally, a film about disability getting the recognition it deserves with a very authentic take on a family that is deaf, and I really like that.
And it was also the first film to win Best Picture that was distributed by a streaming service, Apple TV Plus. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you think Netflix lost the night, Apple TV Plus won the night.
Yeah. Speaking of The Power of the Dog, Jane Campion won Best Director.
Yeah, the only
win for that film out of 12 nominations. But one thing that's interesting is that it's the first film to just win Best Director since The Graduate in 1968.
That is true. Yeah, yeah. Paul Nichols won that in that year. And
wait, so you're saying it's the first year ever where a person who won Best Director also hasn't won Best Picture?
No, it only won Best Director and nothing else. Because The Power of the Dog only won Best Director.
Yeah, so like one... that one award.
One out of 12.
So here's my question. Because like 3 weeks ago, I don't know when the votes were cast. I assume within the past month, 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, people were like, The Power of the Dog is going to sweep and take everything. Do you think because of all that controversy with Jane Campion kind of having a bit of a mouth affected?
I don't think it's the controversy because the PGAs gave Coda Best Picture.
So and then the PGAs are considered... Do you think it was just people like projecting like, oh, because this is like the most, you know...
It's a crowd-pleasing movie, has representation, and it doesn't really take a lot of chances. Those three.
It seemed a lot this past year that we've... More than last year, where the movie will come out, if you look at Belfast, then Power of the Dog, and now Coda, where it's like, that's it. That's going to be the movie. That's the movie. And then it's like, actually, it's going to be this thing. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It seems like they kept hopping every couple weeks to what the thing was going to be.
Well, because the ceremony was a lot later than it usually is, too. And that's another problem that some people have. There's like, the ceremony shouldn't be this late because they want to prevent stuff like this from happening.
Yeah.
It's like conflict of interest, and also, too, just like, more people are able to see the movies, too. It gives them more time to, like, release them and stuff, so.
Because it really hasn't been since Moonlight where there's ever been, like, where a Best Picture winner has, like, really had the clean sweep. Because I think, like, that year was just La La Land getting, like, you know, Best Film at the BAFTAs, Best Film at the Golden Globes. Moonlight did also get Best Drama at the Golden Globes as well. But it was basically en route to win Best Picture, but the Moonlight came in and grabbed it, which is a good thing. And then Coda initially was much more different because I think initially it seemed like Power of the Dog had the edge because it got the Golden Globe, but then Coda came in and took the PGA and the SAG Award, and people liked it. I mean, I liked it. I think it was a good film. I don't know if it was... I mean, I would have preferred like something like Power of the Dog, or I don't know, Dune was going to be a long shot of getting it.
I would have preferred Titan, but that's another story.
Yeah, but I think it's still good. I think it's good that we're on the right track with this. I mean, it was Sound of Metal coming out last year, and then now this film, I think it really is taking advantage.
Yeah. I guess... I don't... Like I said, like, it's hard to discuss like the nominees just because like I don't really have a lot of objections like towards any of the winners. Like it's I'm relatively happy, honestly. If I made the Academy Awards or if I chose the films, it'll be totally different. I don't think it would have been nearly as, I guess, safe as some of the other nominees
that's
are.
That's always the Oscars each
but,
year.
But yeah, but like this one's, I don't know. It's just a lot
of
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, do you think they're going to recognize anything like The Lighthouse? Probably not yet.
Who knows?
But I mean, hoping The Northman can get it, but we'll see what happens with that. But otherwise, I'm pretty satisfied with all the winners.
Yeah, we are just about out of time for a recap on the Academy Awards, so final thoughts?
I don't know. I'll always follow along, and like unless they can like get their stuff together, then sure, maybe I'll check it out one year, but for me, it's probably just easiest to save 3 hours of watching something going downhill. But sometimes it's nice to watch the car crash, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So hopefully, if the host can intrigue me enough next year, I'll tune in, but other than that, Twitter is a nice place to just follow along with those stills they post after the winners have been announced.
And also a group chat as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this was just a disaster of a ceremony. I mean, I think where the awards got really overshadowed by everything that just went wrong. I mean, there's so many situations that even we didn't tap upon that went wrong, but I think that this was just a disaster, a firestorm of a ceremony that was just ready to kind of show like what's wrong with the Oscars. I mean, it was all on full display there. But otherwise, I mean, I think hopefully next year they can kind of pick it up. I'm still kind of split whether or not I'm going to be going back to watch it again. But we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully they have the intriguing nominees next year. Hopefully they'll do something a bit different that won't make everybody mad. Hopefully we don't get another incident like the Will Smith slap again.
The only way the Oscars can be saved next year, and this is actually statistically proven, this is real, you have to have the Muppet toast.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's everybody make a position to get the Muppets toast, please. If you would like to.
Yeah. Use your Army of the Dead Twitter powers to get that to happen.
Yeah, but otherwise it was just a bad ceremony. I don't think it was anything that was... I don't think it could have been saved by anybody. Even the comedians couldn't save it. Even the awards couldn't save it. I think it was just something that the Academy probably has to re-examine in the future to see how they need to keep themselves at a relevant state and, you know, get more people intrigued. Because I think right now they're too focused on viewership, and maybe they could stream it next year apart from cable, but I don't know. But yeah, I just wasn't that impressed with the ceremony.
Garbage. It was a garbage fire.
I thought you liked it. No.
Yeah, even though I won't deny that there were some good things about it. Like I said, the winners, Troy Kotzer's beautiful speech.
Yeah.
But man, this is not me angry mad. This is not angry bad. This is not depressed bad. This is impressively bad. Like, you have to actively try to make something this unwatchable. And I'll be honest, if it continues like this in the future, I will not be tuning into the ceremony. I'll do what you did, Orson.
Yeah.
Check Twitter. I'll still watch all the nominees and get excited, but I'm not going to watch the ceremony if it continues like this, because wow. And we mentioned a lot of stuff in the last hour, but I have a whole list here. We could have mentioned a lot more stuff, but we would have gone on for like 3 days probably. So yeah, it was the worst Oscar ceremony, and I've given that some serious thought. It is the worst. Hopefully it improves, but if it doesn't, I'm sorry, Academy, I will not be tuning in. This is coming from someone that loves the Oscars. I wasn't originally planning to give it a rating, but you know what? I'm going to do it. Zero.
Oh.
0 out of 10.
Zero, man.
Yeah, because it is just... It was
not even a half star for Troy Kotsur.
I'm sorry, it doesn't save it. And I love Troy Kotsur.
I'll be like Anthony Fantano and say, not good out of 10.
Because it's not only insulting and embarrassing to your organization, but it's insulting and embarrassing to just the art and love of cinema and filmmakers. So yeah, it was a absolute disaster. But the one thing that wasn't a disaster was this episode of Bijou Banter. This slapped pretty hard, if I don't say so myself.
That's a risque joke.
Very edgy.
It was funnier than any of the jokes during the ceremony. Tune in next week, where we're going to be talking about the latest A24 film, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and something else.
Bubble.
The Bubble, yes. Yes, The Bubble, the latest Judd Apatow Netflix film. Until next week, I've been Matthew.
I've been Orson.
And I've been Daniel.
And we will see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.